You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Do you recognize that document?
I do.
Did you obtain that document?
I did.
And what is it?
This is an email exchange that Lori Vallow sent to Michael Edson. It's a little blurry on my screen here. If that's a way I can, I don't have a copy in my possession.
Okay.
There you go.
Is that better?
Yes. This is an email sent from Lori Vallow to Mike Edson, we learned that it was a tax accountant that did Lori and Charles' taxes. And she sent an email to him asking if you'd like me to read the body, I could.
So it looks to me, Detective, like there's two emails. Can you tell which email was sent first?
I want to clarify exhibits here, Mr. Wood. Which exhibit is this being published right now?
That would be 96A.
All right. My 96A courtesy copy is the subpoena, but not the email.
Wait, can I approach?
You may. I'll just have the bailiff provide you a copy of my courtesy copy. And if I don't, it's fine.
You're correct. Oh, well, all right, strike. What I have is consistent with what you have.
Okay, you can go ahead and publish it, Mr. Wood. It's been admitted, and it's fine if my courtesy copy is not containing that as well.
And we'll, Your Honor, we'll correct that after court.
Thank you.
Detective, can you, all right, who's that email from again?
Michael Edson.
And are you aware of who Michael Edson is?
Yes, he was a tax accountant for Lori and Charles Vallow.
All right. And can you read the body of that email?
So the first email was sent by Lori on September 9th. It says, "Hi, Mike. This is Lori Vallow. I'm not sure if you heard, but Charles passed away in July. It's been a pretty stressful couple of months. I saw online our tax return got sent out, but it went to an old address. I moved with the kids and forwarded the mail, but I'm not sure that they will forward the tax return check. Is there some way to contact them to cancel that check and do a direct deposit? Or how would that work? Let me know when you can. Thanks, Lori."
Did he respond?
He did.
How did he respond?
He responded by email. Lori sent her email at 5:03 p.m. And he responds the same date at 6:11 p.m. Says, "Lori, I'm sorry to hear about Charles. I really thought he was a great guy. If there's anything I can do to help, please don't hesitate to ask. In the interim, here is the link to the IRS to fill out a change of address form so they can send you the check up to the new address. Prayers with you, Mike."
Detective, why was this email exchange significant to your investigation?
Well, the email itself is rather benign. It's just appears to be a classic back and forth of exchanging information. But the date on the email is what was important to us, being September 9th. We recall our last known sighting of proof of life of Tylee was September 8th and September 9th. So we believe the investigation has found that Tylee was no longer living at the time of this email.
Okay. And was it significant to you that was just one day after her last known sighting?
Yes.
Okay. Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 98? And, Your Honor, this is 98 is a certificate of authenticity with one subpart, 98A. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
Very well. 98 and 98A are both admitted.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 98A? And can you describe what it is?
98A is airline information that we've received via search warrant for two American Airlines. We requested several names in the warrant to see if we could find out whether or not Tylee or JJ were on a plane somewhere during our search for them.
And these are the American Airline records?
Correct.
And did you find any history of Tylee Ryan or JJ Vallow or Lori Vallow on these documents?
There were several flights for Lori during the period of time we requested from January 1st of 2019 through 2020. And there was only two flights that were listed for Tylee, and one was in February and one was in March, and they were both round trips to Hawaii, but there were no flights for JJ.
Did you say no flights for JJ?
No flights for JJ on American Airlines.
And what was the time frame in which you asked for these records?
January 1st of 2019 through the end of the year.
And do you recall why that was?
Well, we knew that they had moved up to Idaho in September, but we wanted to see if there was any regular places that they went to or visited that we may reach out to another agency or something to try to find and locate JJ and Tylee.
Right. And so to clarify, you stated you found two flights for Tylee Ryan to Hawaii.
Yes.
And multiple flights for Lori Vallow.
Correct. And also Chad Daybell.
Oh, okay. And were what of those flights of Lori Vallow are of interest to your investigation?
Well, the biggest one was in and around the time of that Tammy Daybell was killed.
Grounds. Sustained. I'll strike just the last part of the response saying Tammy was killed.
All right. Are you aware of what day Tammy Daybell died?
Yes. It was the 19th of October, 2019.
All right. And so one of these flights of Lori Vallow coincided with that death. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And there was another flight as well that was in and around that time that was pertinent to us.
And what flight was that?
That was the flight in early November. Where Chad and Lori flew to Hawaii to get married. They were married on November 5th, and they flew out on the 3rd of November.
And that was on these American Airlines documents?
Correct.
Yeah. Detective, can you look at States Exhibit 100? Your Honor, States Exhibit 100 is a business records affidavit with one subpart A. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
Any objection to the admission of 100 or 108? All right, both are admitted.
Detective, States Exhibit 100, what is it?
It is a business records affidavit for Southwest Airlines.
And what is 100A?
This is our airline information reservations for Southwest Air.
And did you find anything in these records that were pertinent to your investigation?
We found that Lori and Charles traveled on this airline through 2019, and we learned that JJ had flown six times, but that was all prior to them moving to Idaho.
Okay. And do you know what those flights were?
They were flights from Phoenix to Houston, where Charles Vallow lived at the time, and JJ would fly back and forth between Phoenix and Houston to visit.
Okay. And did you find any other records on Southwest Airlines that were pertinent to your investigation?
Just give me a moment. I'm not seeing anything for Southwest Air.
Primarily those flights for JJ Vallow.
Correct.
And did you find any flights for Tylee Ryan on Southwest?
I don't believe we did.
Detective, do you have States Exhibit 99? Again, Your Honor, States Exhibit 99 is a business records declaration with one subpart A.
I do not have that.
Your Honor, may the witness be handed a copy.
All right. I don't believe the court has a courtesy copy of that one either.
Can I ask counsel? Okay.
You can still...
I guess, can you show it to counsel in the court and then...
I'll just do some light reading, Judge.
Very well.
Judge, can counsel and I approach just briefly?
Yes.
And I'm sorry, what were those dates?
Dates were for April 26th through the 29th of 2019.
And Detective, do you have States Exhibit 305A and 305? And Your Honor, 305 is a certification of records. I believe this comes in by way of stipulation with one part 305A.
That's correct, Judge.
All right, both 305 and 305A are admitted.
Detective, do you recognize States Exhibit 305A?
Yes, this is airline... reservation information from United Airlines.
And who is it for, and what does this document tell you?
This document tells me that the passenger on the reservation is for Chad Daybell.
And does this coincide with the last document you looked at in time?
Yes.
And does it say who purchased the flight?
This flight was purchased by Lori Vallow through her BBVA account.
But the person flying was Mr. Daybell?
Correct.
Detective, we've talked a lot about finances and travel. Looking at, is it fair to say you've reviewed several travel records pertaining to individuals involved in this case?
Yes.
And did you have to look at a large amount of documents to do so?
Yes.
Okay. Detective, in aid of the jury understanding the travel dates that are important to your investigation, did you prepare a timeline that shows the travel of the different parties?
Yes.
And what records did you use to create that timeline?
We used airline records from Allegiant, Delta, American, United.
And did you prepare that document in aid of your testimony today?
Yes.
Do you believe it would aid the jury in understanding the dates?
Yes.
And the places traveled to?
Yes.
Detective, can you look at States Exhibit 303? Detective, is this that document that you prepared in aid of the jury?
Yes.
Is it a true and accurate representation of what you prepared?
Yes.
Your Honor, for demonstrative purposes, the state would move to admit Exhibit 303 into the record.
For demonstrative purposes, there's no objection, Judge.
All right, Exhibit 303 is admitted.
Detective, I'm going to turn your attention to the first page of 303. And can you walk the jury through this timeline?
Sure. This is a travel timeline for Chad and Lori Daybell. This first box on top of the timeline right before January shows that Chad and Lori met on the 26th of October in 2018. So this starts in January of 2019. So in January, on the 6th through the 10th, Chad Daybell flies round trip from Idaho Falls to Phoenix, and the flight was booked in December of 2018 by Mr. Daybell using the Chad Daybell Gmail address, the same one he used for the Kauai Dreams Realty. As we move to March, we see that Lori Vallow booked a round-trip flight from Phoenix Mesa to Idaho Falls, but she canceled this flight on the 26th for unknown reasons. But she ended up booking a flight and flew to Hawaii for this time frame. In the middle to late March, on the 19th through the 21st, Chad Daybell flew from round trip from Idaho Falls to Phoenix Mesa, and the flight was booked on the 13th of March 2019 by Lori Vallow, and this is her Lolly Time Forever iCloud email associated with that account. In April, Lori flies one way from Phoenix Mesa to Idaho Falls. The flight was booked on the 29th, so it was fairly quick, and then she flies one way back to on the next one up here. She flies back from Idaho Falls to Phoenix, and that was booked on the 3rd of April. Again, and she booked her flight on April 26th. This is the one we just talked about. Chad flew round trip from Idaho Falls to Houston, Texas, with a stop in Denver. It was booked by Lori Vallow and paid for by her BBVA bank account. Mr. Daybell did use his Spring Creek credit card to pay for an extra baggage for the flight. As we move over into May, we see Lori flew one way from Phoenix Mesa to Provo, Utah, and the flight was booked by Lori. And then up here we have the date of July 11th, 2019, that's the day that Charles Vallow died.
Can you walk the jury through the second page of that timeline?
Okay.
Try and zoom in a little bit.
One thing I want you to take notice of, if you could please, is that after Charles Vallow dies, Lori flies under the name of Lori Ryan the rest of the year. I think there was she booked a flight a day or so after Charles died, but still used the name Vallow, but everything else is Lori Ryan. So in August, you see up here the timeline, they're moving to Idaho. And then late August, Lori flies up a round trip from Phoenix Mesa to Idaho Falls, and she books her flight. and Melanie Boudreau, and that's Lori's niece. She was also on this trip. We believe that this is the signing of the rental lease just prior to them moving up. You see here on the timeline as we go on September 8th, that's the last known sighting of Tylee Ryan. We move over to the 22nd. That's our last known sighting of JJ. So in October 8th through the 13th, Lori Ryan flies a round trip from Idaho Falls to Phoenix Mesa. And this is the trip where she took to Missouri, which we had the Venmo used from the Missouri hotel. What's significant about this date is this is the date Tammy Daybell had an incident where she was shot at and reported to police.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point at the characterization.
I'll sustain it as to that final statement and strike that part of the witness response. Mr. Wood, if you'd ask another question, I believe we're just getting into a little narrative at this point as well.
I understand, Your Honor. After October 9th, what was the next event that took place?
Lori flies round trip from Las Vegas to Kauai. The date of the 17th of October is just before Tammy Daybell was found dead on the 19th. She was scheduled to return on the 21st on this flight. As you move over to the 24th of October, she flies one way from Phoenix to Idaho Falls after flying back from Hawaii. Now, down here we have on the 23rd, just to give you a sense of where on the timeline things falls, that Tammy Daybell had her funeral service in Rexburg on the 23rd. As we move to early November, Chad and Lori fly round trip from Salt Lake City to Kauai. Chad flies from Salt Lake City. Lori, we believe, drove a vehicle down to Arizona and then met up with Chad in Southern California. There was a family trip that Chad took with his kids to California during this time. But what was significant to us is that Chad booked this flight just 5 days after the funeral service for Tammy Daybell. Continuing.
Well, Detective, I actually want to ask you a question.
I'd like to take a look at the time as well. I don't know how much longer you've got on the timeline, but...
You got one more page, Your Honor?
Okay, let's do that, and it'll take longer.
Okay. Detective, this last box, you'll see my pen pointing at, that's marked 11-3-2019. Does that coincide at all with what your investigation shows about the marriage of Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow?
Yes, they departed for Hawaii and were married in Hawaii on the 5th of November.
Okay. And then one last page. Detective, what's marked in the first two boxes?
So we have here Lori and Chad flew one way from Phoenix, from Hawaii to Phoenix. And below that, they arrived in Idaho Falls on Allegiant Airlines. On the 28th, Chad flew one way from Salt Lake. And again, I believe I may have mixed up on the last page, but Lori was scheduled to be on this flight, but we believe she drove her car to Arizona. His box on the reservation was marked flown and hers was left empty. So it was designated to open. So, and this was also a trip that was a family trip for that Chad paid for his kids and their spouses to fly to California to have over the Thanksgiving holiday. There was no record of Tylee or JJ on this trip at all.
Now, Detective, you had mentioned a trip earlier. Is it possible that this was the trip you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay. And then the last box.
The last box is Chad and Lori flew one way from LAX to Hawaii, where they took up residence.
Okay.
And last.
Yes, there's one more box. Can you?
Box on the top of the timeline is June 9th, and that's when we found JJ and Tylee.
All right. Your Honor, I believe now would be time to break.
Okay, we will go ahead and take the lunch recess at this time. We'll plan on that being right around an hour. So just shortly after 1 o'clock, we'll try to get started again, go through the afternoon with another break then.
Okay. All rise, please.
All right, thank you. Please be seated and we can have the jurors brought in, please. Yeah, let's go ahead and bring that up quickly as call it a motion in limine. Hold on just a moment and I'll log on and go on the record. Okay. On the record on CR 2221-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell, there is an issue that may come up in cross. Let me first ask, Mr. Wood, do you believe you'll be done with direct in order to get to cross this afternoon with your witness?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. I do think that's appropriate suggestion. First of all, the jurors are not present. The court will hear a motion in limine briefly on an issue that may relate to cross-examination. I will ask that if Detective Considitis, if you could step down for a moment and step out, we'll argue this motion as it relates to an evidentiary issue and then have you return in the jurors once we've made a ruling on that. All right, we're going to hear an evidentiary issue on a motion from the defense, I believe, as it relates to purchase of firearms. Mr. Pryor.
One of the concerns, Judge, is that this officer testified that he had appeared that his Mr. Cox's searches for firearms started in 2019. Now, I have other evidence that's already been admitted for as far as exhibits under previously admitted 34. I'm going to ask that the rest of 34, I believe that's H through J, be admitted as well. And it was by stipulation of the parties that was previously stipulated to being admitted. But the difficulty is that if I start inquiring of the officer about Alex Cox's ability to purchase firearms, that may have been a reason why he hasn't been so rigorous in having those and whether he could possess those, Judge. There's a chance that Alex Cox's felony conviction for the 2007 crime could come into play. And I just want some guidance from the court. I wouldn't characterize this a motion in limine. I don't want to get sideways with the court's ruling. This is going to be walking a tightrope here. And my instincts tell me that there's a likelihood that could come out, Judge.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor. What's the response to the state? And the court will note I previously entered a ruling that the 2007 apparently felony case or conviction involving Alex Cox and Joe Ryan was irrelevant in this case. Hence the concern of the defense if it comes out that there was a felony conviction that may have prevented lawful purchase of firearms. I don't have that information before me, but if it's an appropriate area of cross, it may come in. So how does the state respond?
Your Honor, the state still sees the situation the exact same. The 2007 event is still very attenuated by time. It's the state's understanding that there was a withheld judgment, and as such, Mr. Cox was able to legally purchase firearms. And so I don't know how that would affect anything related to this case. If he was able to legally purchase the firearms, and honestly, even if he wasn't able to, I don't know that that would make a difference when it comes to bringing in a 2007 event. Again, the state's understanding is he was able to legally purchase those firearms. And so we believe that the standing or the ruling from the court before under Rule 401 and 403 should stand. It's too attenuated by time to be relevant to this case.
Judge, in response, I guess my concern is not necessarily openly pursuing that because you already told me I can't. My concern is that if I ask this witness, is there anything that was preventing Alex Cox from purchasing firearms prior to 2019? If this officer testifies, and I guess if someone wants to let him know and say, no, I don't know anything about it, I guess that solves the problem. But at this point, I don't know what the officer is going to say. If he says, I don't know, I guess the inquiry is over, isn't it?
Well, it may be. And so on the issue, first I'll note under the State versus Ochoa case 169-90903, the court has broad discretion to admit or exclude evidence, and I have to consider under 401 and 403 what's relevant in a balancing test. I've done that previously as it relates to just sua sponte bringing up this 2007 conviction. I would note, however, though, that if there is a proper line of inquiry on cross that goes back to that time frame, then there may well be a relevance if part of the state's allegation was that the time frame of firearm purchases started at a certain time. I don't have any idea what this witness, Detective Consitis, may or may not know about Alex Cox's previous criminal history, whether there was a felony conviction, a withheld judgment, when that would have occurred, when he may or may not have been prohibited from purchasing firearms, but it could well be relevant to the issue at hand. What I would rule here is a narrowing instruction that if the matter comes up and you want to inquire, Mr. Pryor, you can just ask in general terms if you're aware if Alex Cox did have a felony conviction that prevented him from purchasing firearms, but not go into the details about who the victim was or what the conviction would have been, and if he knows a history of whether the felony resulted in a withheld judgment or whether Alex Cox had any sort of lawful prohibition against purchasing firearms. So as far as keeping it general, if it goes there and he knows, I would permit that. Otherwise, if he doesn't know, then again, the topic I've already ruled would not be relevant for trial. So that's how we'll proceed with just a limiting instruction that you could inquire, but not in detail about who the victim may have been.
And Judge, I just want to make it clear that I'm permitted then to ask this officer whether or not he's familiar if at any time there was anything preventing Alex Cox prior to 2019 from purchasing firearms, or was there any felony conviction. Is that where the court will allow me to go?
I would permit that. I think that may be a relevant line of inquiry. So that'll be the court's ruling on the matter. I will deem that to be a motion in limine ruling. With that concluded, then we can have the detective return to the courtroom and the jurors brought in, please.
No, it's fine.
All rise. The jury is present on the panel.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. We have concluded the lunch recess. Detective Consitis is on the stand, continuing in direct examination. I'll remind the detective he's still under oath. Also, for those in attendance today, the courtroom conduct order remains in effect through the afternoon. We'll continue at this time then with additional direct examination. Mr. Wood.
Your Honor, the state has no further questions for this witness at this time.
Okay. Then Mr. Pryor, cross-examination.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask if that was on the record, and if it is, I'm going to move to strike it.
I didn't hear what was said. I apologize.
Judge, I had comment.
Sidebar.
If you could just bear with me, Detective, I apologize for.
And Mr. Pryor, make sure your mic's turned on.
I think that verifies it. So, Detective, I'm going to bounce around a little bit. Do you mind?
No.
Okay. By all indications of what you've testified today, it appears that Alex Cox and Lori Vallow had a very close relationship. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. They shared multiple accounts. And by your count, how many accounts did they share together?
I believe it was just that one Barclays credit card account.
Oh, I was under the impression there were a couple of bank accounts that they shared together in addition to credit cards. Is that right? Do you need to refresh your recollection?
Yes, please.
By whatever it takes. You have your book up there. Mr. Wood has it.
We'll have the bailiff deliver those exhibits to the witness, please.
Take whatever time you need, officer, as well, okay?
Thank you. I believe I can only recollect that there's only the one account, the Barclays credit card, that she was on Alex's account.
And was Alex on any of her accounts?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I may have misunderstood your testimony then. Now, you went over a timeline, and I think it was 303 was the timeline. Do you recall that?
Yes.
If I could.
And please indicate what you're publishing there, Mr. Pryor.
I think it's 303, Judge. The exhibit, Mr. Wood.
All right. Exhibit 303, that's being published.
Ready to get that where we are here. Okay. So I'm looking at 303, And it talks about Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow met in 2018, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and then there was a flight to Mesa, Arizona on 1-6 of 2019.
Correct. That?
Was that a business trip for Mr. Daybell, do you know?
I don't.
Do you know whether or not he was appearing at a podcast on that day?
I have no information of that.
Okay. And then we go to 3-19-2019. Are you aware that Mr. Daybell may have been on a business trip that day?
I was unaware.
Okay. Were you aware of what Mr. Daybell's occupation is?
He owned a Spring Creek Books.
Okay.
Book company.
Books, right?
Books, sells books.
Right.
Did some podcasting, and he also spoke at some events.
Right. Yeah. So he would travel on occasion, and you saw a history of that as well, that he would travel and go to various locations for various reasons, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So we don't know what the purpose of that is. What we know is that he met Lori Vallow in October of 2018, and that he traveled for a couple of trips. Okay. And then on the same timeline, you put Charles Vallow's death back on July 11th of 2019. Mr. Daybell traveling twice, what does that have to do with Charles Vallow's death?
Doesn't have anything to do with Charles Vallow's death.
So why'd you put it on this timeline?
Just to show it from January of 2019 across the entire year.
Or was it just to get a reaction from the jury so that they would say, oh my goodness, he's traveling and he must be going to see someone, even though you don't even know what he was going for, right?
Objection, argumentative.
Sustained. Counsel, apparently we need a brief sidebar quickly, sorry.
All rise. If the court is getting session.
All right, thank you. Please be seated. Okay, we are back on the record on CR 22211623. We took a sidebar. There had been a concern about potentially some unauthorized recording of the proceedings. The court would remind all of those in attendance that according to the court's courtroom conduct order, no unauthorized recording of any type, audio or video, is permitted. And if you have a device doing that, you may not only be required to leave the courtroom, you could be held in contempt by the court. So I will remind those in attendance here of that. We didn't confirm anything. That was the reason for the delay, is to address that concern. I do want the jurors to know it was only a concern about a potential recording of audio, and also that the delay was not in any way caused by anything done by counsel, the state, or the defense here. It was simply us trying to maintain the court's order of the courtroom without unauthorized recording taking place, which, again, we have not even confirmed occurred. That was the purpose of the delay, so I apologize for interrupting you, Mr. Pryor. If you'd like to get on with your cross-examination at this point, then you may continue.
And could I inquire the last question, just so I know where I was?
There was a question, actually, with a sustained objection that was argumentative. And so I think if you just want to start over on a new question, you were talking about the 2019 timeline.
So if I understand on the timeline of 2019, the purpose is to show contact between Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow?
Well, it shows that Lori is paying for Chad's flights, so there is some contact there.
Okay. Okay. And we don't know what those flights are for, right?
No.
And how many flights are you claiming he paid or that she paid for him?
On this page here or in total?
Total.
I'd have to review the whole document to see it.
Go ahead. If you need to do that, refresh your recollection, go ahead.
Can I use my exhibit here?
Absolutely, please.
Appears to be just two flights.
And those would be on the 2019 of January and March of 2019, correct?
Yes.
That really has nothing to do with the death of Charles Vallow, does it?
No.
Okay. What it has to do is apparently one of them is buying flights for the other, right?
Yes.
And it's not really suggesting anything else other than that, right?
No.
Okay. Okay. Did you happen to know the facts surrounding Charles Vallow's death?
I don't know all the facts, but I'm aware of some of them.
And you're also aware that Chad Daybell hasn't been criminally implicated in being charged with any of the the matters relating to Charles Vallow, correct?
That's my understanding.
Okay. So when we're looking at when they met, and at the top where you said Charles Vallow's death, you know, all due respect, officers, this seems to be implying that in some way buying two tickets, Lori Vallow buying Chad Daybell two tickets, somehow implicates him in that. That's not what you're suggesting, is it?
No.
Okay. Now, you mentioned, and Judge, could I have Exhibit 34? And I'm going to move for admission of G through, I think it's J, the ones that have not been admitted as of yet. I think A through F have been admitted. The remainder on that drive, I'm asking to be admitted by stipulation of the parties, Judge.
All right, it's on a thumb drive, Mr. Pryor.
Yeah, if I could have the thumb drive, Judge, I can take the exhibit, plug it in, and then discuss what I need to discuss with the officer.
Okay, you can go ahead and plug that in. Before we publish anything, we need to go through whether or not these additional exhibits are admitted or not.
They've been stipulated, Judge, as admission.
Okay.
The state and myself.
So G through J, the state does not object to them being admitted. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct. Without seeing it on the screen, I'm not exactly sure what this exhibit is, though.
All right. If you'll just speak up, if you see something you believe was not admitted by stipulation, I'll rule at this point Exhibit 34, remaining documents G through J are admitted. And Mr. Pryor, perhaps you could make a proffer of what each one is before you publish it, just so the state's aware.
Okay. And Judge, just so the all the parties understand, those are just emails by Alex Cox, or excuse me, emails. Those are searches by Alex Cox in relation to firearms during a pertinent period. And that's what those were. And Judge, they are part and parcel of the mass stipulation regarding all of the contents of, I think it's Homer J. Maximus on exhibit number 34, which by agreement of the prosecutor and the state, all of the contents of the Homer J. Maximus account are stipulated to be admissible.
Okay.
May I proceed, Your Honor?
You may.
So, officer, we're going to switch again. You testified about the records as they relate to Alex Cox and the period of time when there were some interest in firearms, correct?
Correct.
And what I heard your testimony, at least the way I took it, is that you're suggesting that that's the only time that Alex Cox ever looked at firearms.
Objection, misstates the testimony.
I'll rephrase.
Go ahead.
Are you suggesting that that was the only time that Alex Cox ever looked at firearms?
No.
Okay, so the purpose of identifying firearms during that specific period was just to show that on his purchases, he seemed to buy a lot of firearms at that time.
In that short amount of time, correct.
Okay. Were you aware that he had looked at firearms on other occasions?
No.
Are you aware of anything that would prevent Alex Cox from purchasing firearms?
No.
Were you aware of anything in previous life as it related to Alex Cox, a felony conviction that would prevent Alex Cox from purchasing firearms?
I understand that there was an arrest, but it did not hamper or hinder his ability to obtain firearms.
Okay, and the nature of that arrest was what?
I believe it was a
physical. Your Honor, I'm going to object at this point. I think that pursuant to the court's earlier order, I don't think this can go any further.
Also, it's calling for something that's I've considered irrelevant, but if you want to re-ask the question, Mr. Pryor, it just relates to the type of charge or conviction.
So there was a felony conviction, or there was a felony conviction of Alex Cox in what year, sir?
Unknown year. I don't know what year it was.
In his previous history?
Yes.
Okay. And as a result of that, you're not aware of whether or not that was a restriction on his ability to purchase firearms. Is that right?
My understanding is that the arrest or the plea agreement or something to that effect didn't violate or hinder his ability to obtain firearms. That's my understanding of it.
Okay. So in other words, the disposition and after the disposition, when he was sentenced and it was resolved, your position is that it didn't inhibit him in any way to pursue or an interest in any kind of firearms?
It's my understanding.
And where did you gain that knowledge from?
I don't recall. It was, I don't recall specifically where I heard that.
Okay. Judge, I'm just waiting for this to queue up. There we are. So again, as part of your, and we may not have to go into this, but as part of your determination, all you were really looking at during that period was an interest in a purchase of firearms in that specific period, correct?
If we were looking for that specifically, but it did, having reviewed the documents for the year of 2019, in that short amount of time, there was some purchases being made.
Okay. But you didn't look back in any other periods, is that right?
No.
I'm sorry.
We were just looking in a specific time frame for JJ and Tylee.
Okay. And you mentioned a shooting of Tammy Daybell. Is that right?
Yes.
And were you aware that the evidence with, as far as Tammy Daybell is that she was alleging that it was a paintball gun?
I'm aware of that.
Okay. So how is it that... talking to this jury about all these purchases of firearms has anything to do with a paintball incident?
Objection misstates the testimony.
Overruled.
You can answer it, sir.
Repeat the question, please.
How is all of the purchase of these firearms during that period have anything to do with Tammy Daybell having a paintball gun shot at her?
As far as the timeline was concerned, it doesn't, but
okay.
It was on the timeline of events for the year.
Oh, okay. And you chose which events are on the timeline, right?
They were major events, if you will, for key dates.
Okay. And some of those major events were a paintball gun being shot at you, right?
Yes.
Okay. I at any time during the review of all of the bank records, did Chad and Lori ever have a joint account at any time?
I don't believe they did.
Okay.
Even after they were married.
Right. They never commingled their money, did they?
Not that we were, no.
Okay. Yet Alex and Lori did, right?
Yes, on that one account, yes.
Okay. Now, you talked about Tylee's bank account and how you believe that it was used after what you feel is the date that Tylee had the last known proof of life, right? And you...
What account was that?
Well, it was the account where you talked about the Cosa Vida, the two trips to Cosa Vida.
That would be her BBVA account, yes.
Okay. Did you look into who were the participants in that Cosa Vida?
Yeah, we attempted to. I went down in person and met with the managers of both stores. We obtained the receipts for them, and we were asking if they had any kind of video or anything that would show whether it was a take-in or a take-out or a dine-in.
Right.
And there was no video. Too much time had passed for any video feed to show exactly who used the card. But we know that Tylee's phone was in the immediate area of the cell tower footage, or the in the range of the cell towers next to the Costa Vida that would fall into that area. And based on Chad and Lori were detained in Hawaii in possession of Tylee's phone, that led us to believe that it was not Tylee that made that purchase.
Okay. Costa Vida. And I appreciate that, but I'm grateful for you to point out that you took the liberty of looking at the GPS information for Tylee's phone. I appreciate that. Did you happen to look at the GPS information as it relates to Alex Cox on both of those days and whether he was at the Cosa Vida?
I did not review those.
Would it surprise you that it was Alex Cox at the Cosa Vida on both of those instances with Lori Vallow using that particular account? Would that surprise you?
Objection. Facts not in evidence.
I just asked him if it surprised him, Judge.
Well, the way it's asked, I'll sustain the objection.
Okay. So you didn't look at Alex Cox's GPS records to determine whether Alex Cox was one of the people at Cosa Vida during that luncheon and the use of Tylee's card, right?
I just know that Tylee's phone was down in that area, and that's all I can testify to.
Okay. But you didn't go any further. You had access to the GPS records of those folks, right?
I did not. I would go and ask, and then information would come back just to follow up.
on information. Well, that's all. I didn't review.
So as part of a law enforcement cooperative with all of these folks, you weren't sharing GPS information with the other agencies regarding Alex Cox's GPS information?
Not a forensic computer analysis.
Okay.
That's not my position at the police department. So well, I didn't have physical custody of that.
Well, and I guess that's why I'm wondering how important this information is that the card was used, because you had the ability to check Alex Cox's phone to determine he was there, right?
The ability?
Yeah, you had the ability to inquire from one of the many agencies working on this thing as to determine who exactly was there, because you had everybody's phones, right?
Tylee's card was used and Tylee's phone was in the air in that immediate area. That's all the information I had.
So you're not looking to suggest by telling this jury that the card was used unlawfully, that it was people who were engaged in, you know, you're not suggesting Mr. Daybill was there, are you?
That's unknown. I don't know.
Well, and that's what I'm, and thank you for saying that, because I'm trying to figure out what was the purpose of you telling this jury that the card was used unlawfully. Was it to shed light on somebody, or to maybe create a hunch that maybe Mr. Daybill was there when he wasn't?
Action argumentative.
Sustained.
The fact is, you didn't go the extra step to find the unknown as to who was using the card, did you?
I went the extra step and went down to see if there was video of somebody using the card, and just knowing that the record of Tylee's phone being used. There was no other record of Tylee being around, so that's followed up on.
And I think we're not communicating very clearly, so maybe I need to make it a little clearer. I understand you're saying Tylee wasn't there to use that, but you didn't look into who was using it, did you?
Objection, misstates the testimony. He testified that he did look into that.
Sustained.
Okay. You didn't use any additional GPS information to pin down exactly who was there using the phone, did you?
No.
Okay. Now, there's no information to suggest that Chad Daybill took any of the funds from the Social Security of Tylee or JJ, right?
Correct.
Okay. So those allegations have to do with Lori Vallow.
Yes.
So in regards to Chad Daybill, the issues of all that Social Security and then the money that was taken is just a reflection on Lori Vallow. It's not a reflection on Chad Daybill, is it?
Correct.
Okay. Judge, I think that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. That will conclude the cross. Mr. Wood, if you'd like to redirect, you may.
Just very briefly. Detective, just for clarity, was one of your assignments to review the finances of some of the individuals in this case?
Yes.
Were you responsible for GPS data?
No.
And Detective, you were asked about, on your timeline, the significance of Lori Vallow booking flights for Chad Daybill.
Yes.
Why was that significant to your investigation?
In the totality of the travel timeline, it shows when they meet and then Lori begins buying Chad's flights, and paying for Chad's flights, and then Lori traveling to Idaho quite a few times during that window.
So defense counsel asked you about whether or not Mr. Daybill was traveling for business purposes when Lori booked him those flights. Correct?
Yes.
In all your review of the finances, are you aware of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybill being in a business together?
No.
But were they in a relationship together?
I believe so, yes.
And counsel asked you about the Social Security funds that Lori Vallow received?
Yes.
Was she married to Chad Daybill when she received some of those funds?
Yes.
No further questions, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. And I don't believe that opens up any grounds for recross. So that will conclude the testimony then of Detective Consitis. Is this witness going to be recalled, counsel?
Your Honor, he will be.
All right.
And he's under subpoena from my office as well, Judge.
All right. So Detective Consitis, then this exclusionary rule still prohibits you from viewing any of the testimony or discussing in your testimony with others that testify in the trial between now and the time you're recalled. I mention that because this case is being live streamed, so please don't access or watch the case, and I'll be questioning you as to whether or not you followed this instruction before you return for testimony later, whenever that occurs.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff, for clearing off the witness stand there. Is the state ready to call another witness?
Yes, Your Honor.
Who will that be?
The state would call Michael Douglas.
You happen to know what his title is?
A forensic accountant.
Okay.
And Your Honor, before I inquire, I do have courtesy copies for the court of his exhibits. And then this goes to the defense.
Okay. I'll have the bailiff submit those. All right. The witness has now been sworn. Let me just inquire before you begin testifying, based on the court's exclusionary rule. Have you watched any of this testimony that's occurred in the trial thus far?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Have you talked to anyone else about their testimony that they've provided in the case?
No, sir.
All right. With that affirmation, then, Mr. Wood, if you'd like to inquire, you may.
Thank you. And before I do, can I just verify with the court that State's Exhibit 77 has been admitted?
Yes. Yes, it has.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Douglas, can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Michael Douglas, D-O-U-G-L-A-S-S.
What is your occupation?
I'm a forensic accountant.
And who do you work for?
The FBI or the Federal Bureau of Investigations.
How long have you worked for the FBI?
Nearly 7 years. I'm close enough.
And what work did you do before that?
I was a tax and fraud auditor for the State Tax Commission for 4 years.
Is there a title beyond forensic accountant that we should call you, or is Mr. Douglas okay?
Mr. Douglas is fine.
Okay. And tell me what a forensic accountant does.
In sum, we review electronic and financial data, create a financial analysis, provide this information to the investigative team, discuss this with the prosecutors, hold interviews with subjects and witnesses, and testify to our findings.
Right. And when you do a forensic accounting, do you just look at bank accounts, financial records? Do you take other, I'll just ask it like that. Do you only look at bank accounts and financial records?
No.
What else do you do?
Individual search history usually provides additional data where they might be banking at. So search history is one. Apps that they have on their phone would be another. So in some electronic data, as well as the financials, provide us additional information where to search records.
Right. And in terms of your investigation overall, do you look at an investigation as a whole when you're doing a forensic accounting to see how the finances might affect other events?
We do, yes.
How did you become involved in the case regarding Mr. Daybell?
My office had been involved with the investigation for a few months before I was inquired to be upon the investigation or in the investigation. I was told that there was a voluminous amount of financial records and requests that had gone out and sought out to review that information.
And so tell us about some of the work you did. How did you get started? What did you do first?
A lot of the work had been done for me before I got on. The PD had sent out multiple search warrants and subpoenas for the financial records, some travel information. And then when I was brought on around March of 2020, a lot of the records were starting to come in and started reviewing just as it trickled in and built a large spreadsheet of whose account, whose transactions these were, what bank they were affiliated with. And it got to the tune of nearly 80 bank accounts and credit cards.
All right.
Same.
And you said the PD. Can you tell the jury what the PD is?
The Rexburg Police Department. Sorry. Right.
And so you you worked for the FBI, but you worked with the Rexburg Police Department at some level in this case?
I did.
All right. And I'm sorry, you said approximately 80 accounts were looked at.
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the... Well, before I... Can I have the witness be handed State's Exhibit 111?
detective is part of... Well, I'll wait till you get that.
Thank you.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.